I'm Mark Brazell, and this is the Book Club at 91.7. You may recognize the Richard O. Jones name as a byline from the Hamilton Journal News for many years, but Richard O. Jones has now embarked on a second career. He is now a freelance raconteur and author, and has just released the book Cincinnati's Savage Seamstress, The Shocking Edith Klumpf Murder Scandal. And he is here today to talk about this book and his new career. Welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks for having me, Mark. I appreciate you having me.
I wanted to ask about this story. I mean, this is a story that was kind of the sensational courtroom battle of the 20th century for Cincinnati, the O.J. trial out in L.A. How long had you known about this Edith Klumpf story, and what brought you to it?
To be perfectly honest, I didn't know about it that long before I pitched the book.
Really?
So, yeah, I had a manuscript of a book of Hamilton murders because, you know, Hamilton, I like to call it the city of scoundrels. You know, we have a rich criminal past in Hamilton.
Little Chicago is a big part of it.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And so I had done some research into some of the notorious activities of some of my ancestors there in Hamilton, and it turned out to be a pretty big manuscript. Well, I had seen something about Edith Klumpf, and so I knew a little bit about it, but mostly what I knew was that the University of Cincinnati Archives had big boxes of material on it. So I knew that the source material would be there. I didn't know how popular it was, frankly, at that time. But as I started telling people that I got this book deal, I'm writing about Edith Klumpf, even my mom said, oh, that was like O.J. back in, you know, because this was actually the year I was born, you know, so I had, yeah. And my mom said, it was like O.J. We just sat around and watching the TV, just, you know, just watching the show. And what a lot of people didn't realize, though, is that she was charged and found guilty of the murder, but she may not have done it. So that's the secret of the book.
The secret. Well, I wanted to ask about the title, Cincinnati's Savage Seamstress. Now, was that torn from the headlines, or was that – because as I read the book – I hate to say I've heard of worse murders, but you know, she was savage, but you know,
interesting. So I'll tell you that story. It's my title for this because she was a seamstress. She's a home economics teacher. In fact, she made some of the dresses that she wore at her trial. My title was An Embroidered Confession. You know, which I thought was very elegant, but my publisher had other ideas. You know, they want the name of the city in the title, and they wanted something a little bit more provocative. So, frankly, they came up with that, and I get mixed opinions on it because, I thought she's not that savage either.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she got involved in something that she probably shouldn't have, but I don't think she was a savage person. So I really balked at that too, but people like it. I mean, it's one of those titles that can sell a book, and that's really what we're trying to do here.
Tell us the story of the murder that Edith Klumpf was accused of committing.
Okay. Basically, it came to the attention of the State Highway Patrol on November 1st, 1958, up in Lake Cowan, about an hour north of here in Clinton County. A trio of young duck hunters, they weren't having much luck with the ducks that day, and their boat stalled on them in the middle of the lake, and they couldn't make it back to the dock, so they just kind of paddled into the beach. And one fellow went to get the car and the trailer so they could fetch their boat, while two other guys were trying to find a good way to get that down into the beach. And in their search to try and find a path to get the car and trailer down there, they stumbled upon the charred body of a woman. The highway patrol came in, and this was a Friday afternoon. They spent the weekend without knowing who this person was, but finally on Monday, late Monday evening, a fellow called from Procter & Gamble down in Cincinnati who had done business with Louise Bergen's employer and said that Louise Bergen had been missing since Thursday. And so, indeed, it was Louise Bergen's body. Well, Louise Bergen was married to William Bergen, but they were separated. And William Bergen was living with the 40-year-old divorcee, Edith Klumpf. And so everybody got a lie detector test, but Edith didn't do very well. So they charged her with the murder, and she, like I said, she embroidered a confession. She said that the killing was an accident, but that she herself took the body up the next morning to Cowan Lake and burned it. And they prosecuted her on that confession, even though it really didn't match the facts of the case. They got their conviction, which carried an automatic death penalty because of the jury found no mercy for her, and so it was an automatic death penalty. And when that came down, Edith decided to come clean and tell the truth, Whether she told the whole truth yet or not, who knows? You know, but she changed the story. She didn't unimplicate herself, but she did implicate Bill Bergen and said that he was the one who was, she didn't know how Louise was killed, that she had gone into the weeds to go to the bathroom, and when she came back, Louise was dying, and Bill was trying to get her body out of the car and into the trunk, and that Bill forced her into helping him take care of the body, which later that night they drove to Lake Cowan.
I'm speaking with Richard O. Jones. He is the author of Cincinnati's Savage Seamstress, The Shocking Edith Klump Murder Scandal, available where books are sold. You can learn more about it at WVXU.org. I won't go into all the details because I want folks to who don't know the story to,
right.
to learn what happened to Edith Klump. But it was interesting that she was taking the fall for the murder because basically Bill Bergen, her lover, though they said they were married, but they weren't really married type of thing,
right.
told her that, oh, the jury will let a woman off.
Yeah.
A woman with kids. Yeah.
And you got nothing to worry about. You didn't do it. So how can they convict you?
Yeah. So go ahead and say, ahead. And this was convoluted. I mean, the story that she told and... While the lawyer Hopkins, who defended her at the trial, didn't believe her story, he still defended her, but the state police did believe her story, and there was not really all that much physical evidence that tied her to the murder.
No, not at all.
So how did she get so involved? You know, it's amazing that she did and was so stoic throughout the whole trial.
She just did it. They just went on her confession, even though the facts of the case didn't really match it. So I guess they kind of just kind of weaseled their way around the hard facts of the case on her confession.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, but should we mention that confession also came about after several days with the police without a lawyer?
Right.
And that seems very suspect.
Yeah, and in fact, there's an interesting scene in there where Foss Hopkins finally comes into the scene, and they're in there interrogating her, and they said, "We're not done yet. Can you wait a minute?" And he goes back in the hallway and waits. He was quite an interesting character. One of my major sources for this book was his memoirs, "Murder Is My Business," and this was just one chapter in that book. But he was quite a character, and I'm really kind of interested in looking more into his cases and maybe come up with another book from him.
Well, you say you've been hearing of people who remember this trial. This was before my time too, so I had no idea how it all worked out. So this was almost a nice mystery novel to me, you know, going all the way to the end. What has been the other, you know, reaction beyond these folks that you've been running into? Oh, I remember that, and I was, you know, has there been a lot of that?
Oh, yeah. Especially, you know, people of a certain age, you know, people, if they're 10 years older than me, they kind of remember it because they would have been old enough to have seen it on TV. But what a lot of people don't realize is just what happened after she was found guilty and the governor getting involved, Governor DeSalle, how it pretty much cost him his reelection because he got involved with this. He gave her a truth serum test, and they taped that interview, and it was printed. The transcript was printed verbatim in the Cincinnati Post. So there's a lot of things that people didn't remember about it because they'd always say, "Oh yeah, she's the one that killed that gal," but you know, she didn't really kill the gal. So
you know, as you went through this detective work and learned more about Edith Klump and her story, what was your take on her? I mean, were you did you feel sympathetic toward her? Do you think she was a little bit diabolic?
I felt sympathetic with her. I think she was. She was a very strong and determined person, and she had a very forceful personality. But somehow she let this guy talk her into taking the fall for this. So I felt some sympathy for it. Now, the other thing, though, is, and this is an important part, at least according to her children, is that he was threatening her to do harm to her children if she didn't go along with this. So that was part of it, too. So she was being a mother, I think, was part of her downfall was being so devoted to her children that she didn't want any harm to come to them. So she went along with the story until it looked like she was going to fry for it.
She was. Had a date with Old Sparky. Matter of fact, had multiple
dates. She had three dates with Old Sparky because they kept putting it off because of the appeals process and so forth. And, she had three dates. And finally, she was down to the next to last day before she finally got the reprieve where he commuted the sentence to life instead of death.
So was this a natural transition, looking into these true crime stories from being a newspaper man for 25 years plus?
Yeah, kind of in a way. the thing is, people are really surprised when I say this. I was an arts journalist. I was not a cops and courts reporter. In fact, I had no desire to ever be that. That was just a little too, I don't know, maybe too rough and tumble for my taste. I loved going to the theater and listening to music. So I was an arts journalist for a long time. But what got me into true crime, I came in through the history angle.
The history in here, it's fun to see Cincinnati portrayed and to recognize the places that Edith Klump
had
been.
The neighborhoods, I always made sure I mentioned the neighbor. I know how Cincinnati is with their neighborhoods, So you try and get all those mentions in there. She was from Mount Washington and
it's nice stuff. So, yeah. Well, thanks for being here today. I appreciate it.
Okay, very good. Thanks for having me.
Richard O. Jones, he has just released the book, Cincinnati Savage Seamstress, The Shocking Edith Klump Murder Scandal. It's from the History Press, and you can find it where books are sold. More info on our website, wvxu.org. It's the Book Club at 91.7. From witches and murderers to a leader who ruled Egypt and became the most powerful and yet oft-forgotten Egyptian queen. The woman who would be king. Heading your way on the Book Club at 91.7 after a short break.